You are listening to African Father in America podcast by Simon Javanokelo, live from Seattle, Washington, USA.
Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Daily African Proverbs. We are live and direct on YouTube, and we are also live on Clubhouse. I am here with a really special guest, actually. You know, we had a few delays. We had to switch the guest that I'm hosting today. My sister, Dr. Jasmine Blanks, was unable to join us today, but she sent a representative who is going to be a part of our conversation today. Silas and Jackly is our special guest today, joining us from Virginia in the U.S., but originally from Liberia. Today we are going to talk a little more about Liberia than we usually do, because you know, it's been 200 years since the first American moved to, since the first African Americans, you know, freed slaves moved from the U.S. to Liberia. So there's an incredible play and project that Silas and Dr. Jasmine Blanks are a part of that we are going to learn about today. But before that, we are also going to learn about a really amazing African proverb from Equatorial Guinea. So grab a cup of coffee, you know, make yourself comfortable as we begin our conversation right now. I was a little, you know, late because we had to deal with some technical issues. But I want to share the proverb, and I also want to pin it to the top of the room for the sake of those who are, you know, joining us on Clubhouse. So just give me one moment here as I pin that link for you. I hope you all had a nice weekend. I had a beautiful weekend myself. I have been healing from COVID for the past, you know, 2 years and a half since COVID came around. I have been very lucky, but last week I tested positive, and you know, I've just been drinking a lot of honey and a lot of ginger, and you know, just trying to rest a little more. So it's just nice to feel, you know, feel like things are now on the up, on the upward trajectory for me personally and the rest of my family. Silas, how are you doing, and where are you joining us from? Briefly, just share with us as well, when you hear this proverb from Equatorial Guinea, wherever a man goes to dwell, his character goes with him. Wherever a man goes to dwell, his character goes with him. Just share with our listeners and our viewers, you know, a little about yourself, and then jump into what this proverb means to you. And also you can talk to us about where you are, you know, what's around you and what's making you smile this morning.
Right, thank you. My name is Silas Ndrakwer, and it's an African name, a Kwele name from Liberia. That means the head of the lion in the forest. So I'm happy to join you from the US in Colonial Williamsburg, Virginia. And I'm in the US for a culture exchange activity organized in partnership with BFO and the Colonial Williamsburg. So moving to the proverbs, wherever a man goes, a character goes along with him. And I think it's true in the sense that a person moves along with their shiloh. And if I associate that with attitude, it means what you do, every space that you find yourself in, there is something that the audience or the society, the environment, will count you for. So you can be a different Silas in Liberia and be a different Silas in the US. Everything about Silas will have to show up. So those things that you would do, the way you relate to people, the way you relate to society, the way you plan your own activities and your life, is not something that you borrow from somebody. They are with you. You are moving along with them. So your character will always go along where you move. And I see that as a kind of form of, you know, attitude, the change that into a person, that change that one has. So you can't be it for another person, it has to be yourself. So that's why it's always good to have positive mindset, positive attitudes that will help your character wherever you go. Like sometimes we say your shadow, you move along with your shadow. No one else shadow like you. So it's like your character. If you are bad in Africa, if you are bad in the US, if you are bad in Europe, if you move, those bad things move along with you.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much. You know, as you are sharing earlier that you are originally from Liberia and you are in Virginia for the Before You Theater program, you know, and the play that you're in the US for is 200 Years of Returns. But I want you to take us back to Liberia for a moment, because I've been to Liberia, and Liberia is one of the places I love the most in the world. You know, the people there are very beautiful. Do you love pepper soup?
Oh yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we love too much spice.
Yeah. It's so delicious. And cassava leaves. Do you love cassava leaves?
Oh, yes. Yeah, the white people, that's why they do. The Kwela people as well, we like too much of cassava leaves.
Yeah.
We can cook it with the dry meat and dry bony. Yeah. You ready been to Liberia for sure?
Yeah. I was in Monrovia. I was in Kakata, you know. I was in Bong County as well, yeah.
Oh, the county I'm from Bong County.
Ah, yeah, I've been to Bong County. I used to work at this place called Banganglet. I don't know if you know that place.
Where?
There used to be a notorious prison, you know, in near Bong County, you know.
Yes.
Even Ellen Johnson Sirleaf was imprisoned there, you know. I forget the name of the actual prison, but the village was called Banganglet. So I don't know if that's the correct name, you know. Anyway.
The Bowaters are here. Where Helen was. All the way in Buffalo, it's a border between Bong and Solo County.
Yeah. Yeah, anyway, so I wanted you to share with us a story from your childhood that inspires who you are today. You know, when you look at your upbringing in Liberia, what is it that when you look back, you know, motivates you? For example, this interview, you received the news to do it on short notice, but like a soldier, you quickly adjusted and you showed up smiling, you know? So what is it that... if you remember, you are growing up in Liberia, motivates you as a leader today, including with the work that you do with, you know, before youth theater.
Right. Thank you. As a child, I was born into a Christian home. My father is a pastor. And normally they have a saying, popular saying in our society that says the children of a pastor doesn't come out good. So that saying was like, my parents and father especially took it in a positive way and says, I'm going to live and work against this thought that the children of a pastor doesn't come out good. So we started with a very rigid discipline from our parents that you guys need to be an example and you guys don't need to follow the popular society norms that pastor children doesn't come out good. So I took that from my childhood and I said, we ourselves going to live towards it and be an example. So growing up, I'm a very hard-headed guy. I used to love causing trouble, all the troublesome plays, bad plays or like Silas. So whenever I went out to play and there was complaint, and my dad came back home and I said, the first thing, I don't want to hear any bad news. The fact that somebody would come and give your complaint means you went the wrong way, because there is no room for bad complaint. If you did the best thing, nobody would come here to give your report. So I'm always wanting you, if you went out there, focus and do the best and good thing. So started coming up and later going to school. Every morning we used to have devotion and we'll have ourselves reminded about the family values. Everyone needs to live up as an example of the family. Our last name was something that was defined to us, and take into consideration that we are lions, and not just lions, the heads of lions. So anything you do and anywhere you go, you should always exhibit that character of being a head. So I started my education sojourn back in the 80s. From my childhood days, everywhere I've gone and interact with people, they see those qualities. I've always tried to live and do my best with what I've learned to do and not to create the false impression. That's one thing I see good that has helped me. What I able to do from my childhood days, there were many things I started doing. I used to do drawing, I used to do art and craft, too many things. So they started calling me Jack of all trade. Jack of all trade and master of none. But I kept focused. And later I went to high school, graduated. I went to university. I wanted to be an engineer. By the time in my community environment, they didn't have a school like that. So I entered the Cottington University and my advisor asked me to do education with emphasis in mathematics, so that in the future you can still go to a technical school. And that I did, secondary education in mathematics. And I started seeing myself to be an educator. I started seeing myself to be somebody who always loved to share with people. I've always tried to, I don't care what the situation is, every time I have a task or I'm working with a group, I will need everybody to be on course with the little I know how to share with them. I don't take it for myself. I believe in teamwork. If we all do it together, if I know something and my colleague knows something about that and the next person know it, we build a bigger team. And that has made me to attract a lot of people towards me. That has inspired a lot of people when they interact with Silas, because he's not doing it for himself. He's doing it so that the system will work for everybody. He's doing it that if you don't know how to do a certain thing, he share and he also learn from you. And that's the way I grew up and started working, started teaching, I taught for a few years later on, based on my interaction, I got promoted to vice principal for instruction at the BK High School in Bond County. And from the way I work, I was awarded a scholarship from the vice president's office in 2015 to do my master program in Shanghai, China, East China Normal University. There I went to do my program. My parents, I'm not from a wealthy family. But what have carried us as a family is that value and the simple leadership ability and the quality we put in what we have to do. So I have the opportunity to travel to China. It was like a surprise. I didn't know. Somebody have come to the school and they were looking at everyone, what they were doing. I didn't know they were monitoring me. I didn't know they were following me, just like you talk about the character. I didn't know that person was looking at everyone. And after a few days, he gave me a call. Hey, Silas, I was at Beaufort, and I think you are a very potential young man. I have a scholarship. I don't know whether you love to benefit from it. And I said, where? He told me. So it's just about your character. Any space you put yourself in, any way you have to do things, just know that you're doing it for yourself and it will come back either in a positive manner or negative manner based on the way you interact with a setting and you know situation. So that's what has led us, and later in 2013, I have an interaction with Jasmine and you know Dr. Jones. We were 21 that went for the training in 2013. Out of the 21, we didn't have a site in Bond County. So I asked her, I said, Jasmine, I need a site to be in Bond County. She said, but the program now, we don't have a support. It's small. So I just want this dream to move. I said, Jasmine, that's not a problem. I'm going to take the responsibility to have the site arranged. I'm going to do that. I'm going to take the responsibility for those who will move to Bond County because I'm looking at impact. So we did that. Out of 21 persons, we had a site created. And from that year, we went through the training for 8 weeks. My site came out Victoria because went for competition. So Bond County side won the competition. And the following year, the way we started grabbing the B4 ideas, I was nominated and the board accepted that I became the national director for the country. Today, our program has reached at least 4 different counties, Bong, Grand Bassam, Nimba, Mosorado, and Maigibi. So the way I have presented myself, my ability, normally everyone needs money here, but I'm looking at the contribution I can give to you and what you can do for me, because what we all have acquired is to have a positive impact on the society. From that standpoint, this year is my 10th year with BFO. I'm happy that through our intervention, we are able to bring along with us 3 other kids to the US, whom their parents and family would have taught only in the next maybe 100 years.
So hold on, before you go to Before Youth Theater, I want us to first of all talk about the history of Liberia, you know, because according to the play that you guys are presenting currently, it's been 200 years since the first black freed slaves left the US for Liberia, correct?
Yes.
And that's part of what inspired the play that currently you're doing with Before Youth Theater, right?
Sure.
But take us through the history of Liberia from 2022 to that day 200 years ago, you know, just walk us back a little, you know. When I was in Liberia, it was right after it was right after people like, you know, Butt Naked were reforming, and the country, people were still afraid, you know, people like, you know, all the warlords were still around, and yes. Charles Taylor had just gone to The Hague. You know. So, also, there's also another history of Liberia that many people don't know. But Liberia was the first country in Africa with an ATM machine, you know. People used to go for holiday in Monrovia, you know, like many people in Kenya used to. Monrovia was the Dubai of Africa for a while, you know. So share with us that too, you know, the glory of Liberia, and also, you know, how things are looking right now, how, you know, where you think the country is going. And then we are going to come to Before You Theater.
Thank you. So years back, our history have informed us, though, those of us who live and grew up in Liberia post-war in the 80s have learned a lot, and we have read a lot. Liberia was founded and established for free black slave. Those are things that we've learned. Liberia was established for free black slave who were in America to go and settle there. So back in the 1800s, after the abolition of the slave trade, they needed a place for the people of color to go back and settle and have their own free way and free life to live. So the ACF guys and people, that organization, were able to travel along the Gold Coast. And Liberia, like you said, we left pepper soup. It was called the Pepper Coast at the time. And Ghana was called the Gold Coast, but Liberia was actually called the Pepper Coast. So the Medigator Pepper, it was found along the coast in Liberia. So that's why we like too much pepper soup there. So, yes. So they came in, they were able to settle on the sea coast. And they were able to purchase the first place, the Providence Island. That was the first area of settlement for the free slave. So they didn't just settle there, but our history informed us that they interacted with the indigenous who were there, and they were able to purchase the land that they needed for the free slave. So that land was purchased from the African chiefs, the Zulu, King Zulu Zuma, who, when he traveled to Europe later in the 1700s, his name was changed to King Peter. But his original name from the Bazo Crew ethnic group was Zulu Zuma. So he traveled to Bios and returned, and he was King Peter. King Peter was the one who sold the land to the ACF representative, Scarlton Mills, and the other guys. So Monrovia now, that was named after the first president, James Monroe, was a community in Africa that became like a light. They said it was a farm for, and you know, people who was in America. Years back, there were no visa, there was nothing about visa, nothing like that to get to Monrovia. Once you are in the States, when you are in Monrovia, you just get on plane directly, you get to the US, and from the US directly to Mosorado. Because it was like the same kinds of idea or system they have traveled to settle with, because they were with their in the West, and with the Americans. So Monrovia now started to expand. They had the education, they had the churches, the Methodists, the Episcopal, and the churches. They started establishing that there. The system in Monrovia was similarly as the system in the US or the West at the time. So every other thing that they learned during their time of slavery, they took it to Monrovia to settle. So that's why in those days, it became like another America in Africa. Because everything that the people learned was not different thing they were taking to Montserrado. If you went to Montserrado, all of our streets are named after great men who traveled there, as some leaders and administrators who were in the ACS or who were into national government from America.
So Montserrado, Silas, Montserrado is the county where Monrovia is, right?
Yeah, Montserrado is the county where Monrovia is. Monrovia is the capital city for right. Montserrado.
Okay.
Right.
Okay, I wanted to for clarify Liberia, at least for the
yeah,
sake.
Yeah, the capital city for Liberia. Sorry. Yeah. Okay,
no problem. Yeah. So right. Keep going. Yeah.
Yeah. So life was like similarly as the American was. So when you hear about all of the good things, a lot of people travel to Monrovia in those days to learn. A lot of people travel there to see good things because they have taken similar ideas and things that they learned back to Montserrado. So things started to the central government and they started to formulate a governance group. So they started the leadership. Joseph Jenkins Robert became the first president after our independence in 1847. So Liberia fully now gained of independence in 1847 after the ACS succeeded in paying for the land and people started to move there. There was a need that they formulate their own government and so that they start to operate as a country, not just under the colonial rule, that they will still have a restriction from their slave masters. So that Declaration of Independence was accepted. So Liberia now, those guys who were there, they declare that we need independence. So the Declaration of Independence was done in 1847. They said, yes, we are now free people. We are now no more under the colonial rule. We are now no more under our slave master. This is a country that will stand by itself. Now we'll get our leadership into place. So they started with Joseph Jenkins Rawal was appointed as the first president. He ruled Liberia up to the late 70s, Liberia was ruled by what we call Negroes. Liberia was ruled by the Negroes. You didn't see the indigenous into, leadership, but there were always people who came from the people of color, the people who repatriated, like we learned, and settled there.
So but those were people. That is also this one of the biggest sources of conflicts that the indigenous Liberians felt that they were sidelined by the Africans who freed slaves from America that settled in Liberia, and so that is where Samuel Doe comes in. So speak to Samuel Doe because he's a big character in the history of Liberia and in this conflict between indigenous Liberians and Liberians who returned from the US as slaves, as freed slaves.
You are right. That has been a bigger problem, a conflict for us Liberians. So a lot of documents were written in favor of the settlers. They didn't capture most of what the indigenous who were there contributed. And that's why those of us who started learning and said, but why would everything be named like just after America? So the indigenous were not considered. But in my mind, the Dracoli family ancestors were in Liberia when the ACF came. There were people who lived there. So the connection with the people who were there, people who came, there where our history has some challenge, some challenges that we need, and we're going to be talking about it. We are talking about the 200 years and the fights about Liberia, because everything was not just the Negroes. No, they had kings, they had chiefs who live in Liberia. They were there. So even our seal, what is on our seal? Also, we've been talking about it. The law of liberty brought us here. That's what you see on the Liberia seal. If you saw the seal now, that's what you see there. So those of us who were there and have now joined part of the country, how do we find ourselves to fit in that seal that the law of liberty brought us? Where did I come from? I didn't travel. There were a few of our colleagues here who they took them, but it was not on a free basis. They took them as a slave. It was not something that they enjoyed doing. It was something that they didn't treat them right. They took them. And if you read from the ACF document, the reasons why Liberia they decided to find a land for the free slave, it was not because they were happy. It was because of the way they have referred to us, that the people of color were getting more, and if they're getting employed into the different industry, they are not productive, they are lazy people. If we continue to be amongst them, the white, that means they will not have job to do, and so they need to find a place so that these people can go. So a lot of us now who left there, I'm considering myself, because I don't know whether I have any descendant of the free slave. No. A lot of us, our people who left there, they didn't see themselves part of the system. Our constitution, even education policy, we talk about the MCSS, the Moorea Consolidated School System. That school system is only formulated in favor of those who came as the Negroes. And they say as other counties, but you don't see it. Under the those school that was built by the Negroes, they only what they capture, they put it in budget, they do everything for them. But in the rural area, they don't do that. So the indigenous, we still have that, you know, conflict. How can we really say our story? So as we're going to be pushing towards the 200 year, we're talking about reviewing some of the fights, some of the myths along the way into our history. Because it's true that there were people there, but who could account for them? At first, they would say they were not educated, they were not literate. But listen, the way they started the whole process, they put Christianity ahead of it. And so when they brought Christianity, they said they have come to give us civilization. In some books that we read when I was going back in my junior high school days, they say we were barbaric, we were hidden, we were uncivilized. So they have come to give us civilization. It's transformation. But making us to get glued to the Bible and forget about too many wrong things that they have done to our ancestors and to us as Liberia. So that's the way, yeah. So they brought Christianity, you need to go to church. No, if you are serving this person, no, you don't serve this kind of, you don't serve God like this. A Christian need to forgive, a Christian need to do this, a Christian need to treat his whole brother right. And what I just read, you know, from a book that even the Muslims were in existence, and they come on the prayer. years back, during King Peter days, Muslims were around Mandingo, like we in Liberia, they got a tribe now called Mandingo, they were there. So we still got a problem. We a lot of historians are doing a research on it, getting information from different artifacts so that we learn about those who were there. And I will tell you one thing. It's because of the introduction of the way that the Negroes came that also is affecting our education system. Our education system is affected with what we call our traditional school. Because when they came and told me that what I was doing first was not good, so I need to go to church, I need to go to a different school. And the Bush school was also a kind of school that was accepted by the people. They had all the cultural thing into it and said it was not good. Then the people said, no, we're not going to agree that our culture just go like that. It's going to be a society. If you don't part of it, don't go there. If you go there, you don't talk about it also. And if you live on there, you talk about it also, we will deal with you. So if I think if we had the indigenous and the Negroes coming together, it would have been an integrated form of civilization. That both the cultural and the modern one that came, like we say, yeah, the Western education, it would have been integrated. But as I will tell you, I work as well as a district education officer in Liberia. When the additional ready for that, they are boot school, they don't get time. Whether the children are writing tests or doing whatsoever thing, they would take the children out of school and send them to the boot school. Because they said there they're going to learn their culture, they're going to learn values, they're going to learn beliefs. And they will go there and our conventional school will be empty. So we still got a problem, and, you know, between the indigenous and the Negroes. We need to rewrite the story. We need to start by saying the law of liberty met us, all of us here, or brought and met some people. We need to change that one first. If you look at the seal of Liberia, you just look at a law of liberty, they'll say it brought us here.
Yeah, it's we have to
a free land.
Yeah. it's complicated. It's I wanted to just let you you know, fully express yourself around this, but I feel that it's really complicated and we need to probably have another 1 hour conversation, because, you know, just listening to you talk about the conflict between the freed slaves that left the U.S. for Liberia and the indigenous Liberians, there's so much to talk about there, especially from the, you know, you talked about the period of the 1800s when the freed slaves came to Liberia, and then we were at the place where we are now talking about Samuel Doe, when Samuel Doe was like an eruption, a reaction of the indigenous Liberians, that we also want to lead our own country. But since then, you know, right now, the current president represents the indigenous people, you know, and he represents like the hope that Liberians have. But I also think he represents, is a symbol of the unity between the freed slaves and the indigenous people, just based on, you know, the fact that, you know, he was from the slum, and he learned most of, he went through a lot, you know, George Weah went through a lot, you know. But because we are running out of time, I want you to talk about Before Youth Theatre just for a moment. When you look at the work you're doing, you're the national director of Before Youth Theatre, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So speak about what makes you most proud about this work that you do, and you know, the play that you guys are currently doing in the US titled 200 Years of Returns.
So I'm happy to be here. Like you said, our work started years back, and normally we run a vacation school in Liberia that we get the kids. We got our curriculum is heavily on just academic and, you know, more on content. So these skills, the additional skills, when BFO came, brought that, you know, Jasmine brought that idea, I really took it, because we can just be learning all mathematics, general science, English, and social study. The TVS and skills, you know, training are also important. So when school closed, we gather the children and work with them for 8 weeks. We train them on the basic theater skills and also some conflict resolution method, because our drama, our dance, they are all focusing towards a module that look at issues from the society and contribute towards solution. So we don't just talk about the issue, but we also make suggestions what solution should be like. So working for the past 9 years, along with Jasmine, we've been having different activities around in Liberia. We were fortunate to perform with the global group, Shakespeare from the UK. We did the performance of Murder in the Kisao Pash, another story, literature in Liberia. Now this year, we want to also contribute, because our theater is a physical theater. We have partnership with the Colonial Williamsburg Foundation, so that we can give a theater view of the historical, you know, event, the 200 year of return. Just some of what we've discussed, we're going to be having a live drama performances on that. So we talk about some of the myth into our history, and we talk about what needs to be done and what should be said at certain time. So that research has been done, and we are into the US with three of our kids who started from student today. They are now senior instructors, and some of them are up to program levels now at the institution. We are into the States to perform. And our contribution will be giving contribution to the historical fights. 200 years of return, we still need to find the fight of 200 years of return. We're not just looking at the Negro side or the American side. And that's why we came from Liberia into the US, so that we're going to blend with the Colonial Williamsburg, so that we can have a holistic play on the Liberian history and talking about 200 years, what we need to learn or what we need to introduce into our history based on the facts, based on research. We're going to have those dramas and perform in the US in different places. So the first one is coming up July 2nd.
Excellent. Thank you again, Silas. So for a moment, I just want to create space for our friends who are on stage. Silas, we have a few people who have been listening to us on YouTube and also on Clubhouse. We are going to hear a few voices just briefly, you know, with your comments in regards to the conversation we've been having here with Silas and Jack Lee, who is our special guest, is the national director for the Before Youth Theater in Liberia, and is in the US right now with a number of other people from their program. And I was connected with Silas through Dr. Jones, who is you know, someone that follows the work we do here with the Daily African Proverbs, and I'm hoping that I can also host her in the near future. So for now, let's hear briefly from you, Lavenda. Is there something that inspired you from this conversation? And if so, what is it? Where are you joining us from briefly? And if you have any thoughts on the proverb from Equatorial Guinea that is the center of our conversation, that's also welcome. For the sake of those who are just joining us, the proverb says, wherever a man goes to dwell, his character goes with him. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Simon. Hi, everyone. This is Lavenda. I'm speaking from Nairobi, Kenya. I'd like to acknowledge Silas's journey. It's quite inspiring, and it's like the hour we have wasn't enough. I was looking forward to hearing more. So about today's proverb, wherever a man goes to dwell, his character goes with him. I feel like the kind of person you are, you walk with the kind of person you are wherever you go. And so besides wherever you go, where you stay with other people, where you work with other people, your character follows you everywhere, just like your shadow. I'm Lavenda and I'm complete.
Thank you so much, Lavenda. Let's go on quickly to Debbie. Debbie, how are you? What are your comments on this conversation with Silas, or your perspectives on today's proverb?
Greetings and appreciation to all. My name is Debbie Berlin, Game Dev Debbie from Maryland near DC. I really appreciate the guests for sharing about the history of Liberia. I have been learning so much. Regarding the proverb, how it speaks to me is that our character is our true self. It makes me think of the phrase, to thine own self be true. When we are in our dwelling, we are home. And to truly be at home with ourselves, we have to know, accept, and love ourselves. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Debbie. Hi, Stella. How are you? And what are your perspectives on today's proverb and discussion with our guest, Silas?
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone. This is Stella from Kenya. And it has been so humbling listening to Silas. And just like the proverb says, there's also another quote that says that in life you should be humble, because if you are not, it will humble you anyway. So it was so humbling to listen to him. He has such a humble character from his from the way he speaks. And I really appreciate it. So thank you, and happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Hey, Bibi, how are you doing? What are your thoughts on the proverb, or for the guests that we're having today? Bibi might be away from her phone, so we'll come to you, Jay. Jay, how are you? And what are your perspectives on the proverb, and any comments on the current conversation?
Thank you, Brother Simon. I came in a little late, so this may have already come up, and if it did, you don't need to respond to it other than to let me know to listen to the replay. But I did want to know, regarding the play, how diverse the play is. So if it's 200 years, the people that are the actors, do you have a diverse group of actors? So Native Liberians, and then you use Negroes, which is fine, and Negroes, and do you have colonizers in the play? So how all of that plays out. And then concerning the character, that is your nature. That is just so true that I think about how many people, not everyone, say how much they hate the United States, you know, and how hard we're trying to colonize Mars and, you know, other planets, but the damage that has been caused in this country as a whole is a result of man's nature. And that concludes my comments. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you. Silas, remember to respond to that in a moment. Kesiwa, how are you? And also, what are your perspectives on today's conversation and proverb?
Hello. I'm doing wonderful. I want to give a shout out to everyone. I really like the proverb. It's just a reminder that, you know, your mind is the most precious thing on your body. You know what I mean? You can go to a mountain to get clarity. You can be in the midst of traffic thinking you won't get clarity, but at the end of the day, it's your mind. That's really what, you know, that's your dwelling. Like, so no matter where you go, you know, you can travel wherever. At the end of the day, it's you. I really think it's fascinating how it's from Equatorial Guinea. You know, that's a very vegetation rich country, right? And I really like to look more deep into it. I really like your guest, the topic that he's speaking on. I can't wait to listen to the replay, and just want to give him a shout out and to keep doing the excellent work that he's doing. This Kaswan, I'm done speaking.
Thank you so much, Kesiwa. I appreciate you being here. Your audio is very, very clear. I like it a lot. Now, for those who might just be joining us now or those who might just be watching this now, my name is Simon Okello. I am the host of the African Father in America podcast. And we've been here for the last hour hosting a special guest by the name of Silas N. Jackley, who is the National Director of Before Youth Theater in Liberia, and he shared with us his own perspective on this proverb, you know, a childhood story that inspires who he is today. We talked a lot about Liberia because he's a part of a play that is actually depicting the history of Liberia, and the play is titled 200 Years of Returns, because this year, 2022, marks 200 years since the first freed African American slave arrived in Liberia. So, Silas, I want to bring it back to you. I want you to respond to any comments that you had from our speakers, and also share with us, you know, how we can stay connected with you, how we can support your work with, you know, Before Youth Theater. And also, you know, if someone is interested in joining you for some of the plays that you're staging in the U.S., where can they join you next?
All right, thank you. So I'll be responding to this question. I think I only had a question. Thanks to all of those who commented and asked questions. It's good for us. We appreciate you so much. So in terms of the group, the diversity of the group of writers, I captured this as a question. So it is the reason that we are up in America, because the play will not just be on one side. The Colonial Williamsburg Foundation has a museum that talks about a lot of ancient, you know, artifacts back in the 1800s. And they are historically known for a live event like we do at B4. So we brought a team that going to be a representation of Africans, and joining the team in the U.S. will also symbolize the representation of the Negroes. So in terms of the different character we're going to use, We have them that will make our play to present the real part of what the history prescribed.
And also the person who may ask that question is a playwright based in Seattle. So if you guys want to connect, let me know so that hopefully, you know, who knows, we might be able to bring you guys to Seattle in the future, because Seattle needs to see this play, but also the world needs to see this play. Are you guys recording it online? Are you streaming any of the presentations online?
I'm just following you directly. So maybe later on we'll have the link and we'll have share. So.
Oh, no. I'm asking during the plays that you guys are showing in the US.
Oh, yes. It will be, it will be recorded and some will be screened. Yeah. So the first play is July 2nd in the Colonel Wellsborough Theater, in the Colonel Wellsborough Theater space, right in Virginia. There we're going to have the first play. In subsequent time, the different schedule will come out because we're going to move into different states. Our Independence Day, we're going to have another one. July 26th is Liberia Independence. So we'll also have another play, and the venue will be out soon, so that we share with the public and those who are following our activity. So we really want, we need support for what we're doing back in Liberia, because this is one thing that is not just familiar into our, you know, social sector in terms of physical theater. We have been only the theater company, physical theater company in Liberia. But because a lot of the people not really used to this kind of piece, so you need a lot more work and time to getting the people get subscribe and follow what you are doing. So one of those things we've planned in our next 5 to 6 years is to have our own theater place, a very unique place that will attract people to what we're doing, because normally we just in partnership with different schools and institutions where we run the program during the vacation. So that's one thing we are on our dots, and we're planning, we're sharing with people, because we want the message to go. And these performances, like I remember in 2009 when we did the arbitrary abuse of girl education before the president, then Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, she saw herself into the performance. She saw the message, and right after that, today Liberia has a lot of policy and NGOs and people now supporting girls' education all over. It was from a space that she saw when we performed that. I know when the kids performed that at our city hall, she learned. And we had a line in it about the president's, you know, contribution and what the president's doing. So she sat and learned. And since we see this to be making the voice of the marginalized to be heard, we will always love to do it. And we just need a lot more support, because the kids that we use, you know, a lot of them in school, the volunteers, and they have to put in time. Physical theater work requires a lot of time, a lot of support to make sure that the actual message and the gesture, the saying, comes out. So those are ways that we're going to share and talk with people who following us in terms of support. We want this to move across Liberia and across the globe. We don't just want to be in this to be the last or the end. We want to come back here again. We want to move to other places so that people can learn about us, because Liberia is a historical country in Africa, being recorded as the first on the continent. A lot of countries and people need to learn more about our history. So I think the play we're going to do are going to set a stage that more we're going to be more educative, and we're going to learn a lot from the 200 years of return and how we can do it. So we are now gravitating towards our positive mindset, like the issue of, you know, the playing game. So sometimes when you read our history, you just feel like you should look at one person and say, look, I want to blame you more for what happened. But right now we are in a space of seeing how we can collaborate and have a transformation. So the transformation will enable all of us to put in our pieces into it and make it to be something that will be acceptable by the society. But the way information has been given up, the way they are made a lot of people to learn some of the things, you know, set people mind against some people and make things people to think differently. But I think right now we are on a path of transformation and making sure that we transform our mind first, the mindset, so that we see our being as a one global village, that there is no way that we will be in a society that we cannot interact or we cannot do things together, but we just need to learn the different fights and have a transformed mind and a positive mindset towards our own attitudes, that we're going to be an example of our character. Whether you are into America, whether you are into Africa, we're going to accept that we are one big family, and we will work towards moving our country, our continent, our world forward as large.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Silas, for making the time to join me today on short notice, by the way. You know, I really, really appreciate it. And I can't wait for us to eat pepper soup together one day, you know.
Oh, sure.
The way you guys make chicken and rice, you know, you have chicken inside the rice and then people eat it together in a group. It's much like Kenya, you know, and also so many things we need to talk about, but we have to wrap up for now. Liberians are everywhere, by the way. I know a big Liberian community here in Seattle that I can easily introduce you to if you wanted to take the place, the play to a place like Seattle. Also in Kenya, I have a very good friend who is from Liberia, you know. If you ever wanted to do this play in Kenya, I could introduce you to him. But also the Liberian embassy, you know, I think you should, the Liberian embassy in Kenya and also across the continent can help you get this play, you know, done. In fact, the Liberian and the US embassies in Africa are looking for plays like this, you know. Especially the U.S. embassies, they're always looking for this cultural exchange type of thing.
Just go ahead and share the information and share the link. We are actually out here to find, you know, a bigger community and have a lot of network. Because it's about sharing the message. And so the more we move out, the more we get these contacts and more people learn about us, I think it will make our work get bigger, and we'll have the impact not just in a small space, but going to cut across. So just move ahead. Our newsletter has all at before you follow before youth theater activities online, you will see the newsletter, and we are looking for support for our team, you know, why we are into the States and to move around and do all the things. So you could just follow our newsletter, and the little you're going to do, it will be a great impact for the life of the kids and the team we are working with while we are here, also back in Liberia. But go ahead and just create the network. And I hope this will not be the last time. I will always appreciate it to follow you and see what we can have more on a discussion. I appreciate Dr. Jones. She's my executive director. And I think working with her has been a lot more impactful for me as a person. She's one of my mentors that I really appreciate so much through my sojourn.
Excellent. Yeah, I will connect with Dr. Jones later on. Thank you again. And this marks the end of our time today. You've been listening to the Daily African Proverbs, which is being recorded for the African Father in America podcast. We live stream on YouTube Monday to Friday, and we are also live on Clubhouse in the African Father in America Club Monday to Friday, 6 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And, you know, I'm just grateful for the time. If you haven't subscribed to my YouTube channel, this is a good time to do that. And also remember that this conversation is going to be available across all podcasting platforms. Thank you again, Silas. I'm going to see you very soon, and I'm going to follow up with Dr. Jones so that we can keep building. Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
You are listening to African Father in America podcast by Simon Javanokelo, live from Seattle, Washington.